You're listening to episode 68 of IDRA Class Notes.
I really believe that leadership can balance out the inequities of funding because principals have no say-so on policymaking. And so we have to do what we can with what we have. That doesn't mean we don't keep fighting. I mean, I think we should continue to advocate, but it can't stop just because the resources are not there.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes Podcast. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and school administrators to better serve all students. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Please let us know what you think and any questions that you have. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how you can do that. And if you like our show, please help spread the word and tell three others or leave a review for us on iTunes, which you can do by going into iTunes or downloading it for free, type Class Notes Podcast in the search field, and you'll see a button to give the podcast 1 to 5 stars, and you can leave a comment as well. On our website at IDRA.org, you can sign up to receive a free email alert that will let you know when a new Class Notes episode is available. And you can sign up for our 2 free e-newsletters, Graduation for All and IDRA News. The issue of equitable school funding was the issue that IDRA was founded on 36 years ago. Our founder, Dr. Jose Cardenas, was the superintendent of Edgewood ISD during the Rodriguez court case and was involved in the subsequent Edgewood cases. He later wrote the textbook on the history of school finance in Texas. It took a while, but our system was finally made more equitable in the late 1990s. But in recent years, the state has taken steps backwards. And a few months ago, IDRA published an update about the changes and where things are now by Dr. Albert Cortez. That is available free online, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. With this backdrop, for today's episode, we wanted to look at the issue again from the eyes of a former school principal and superintendent as it relates to successful schooling in any state. So here is IDRA Senior Education Associate Dr. Nilka Aviles with her interview.
Our topic today is implications of inequitable school funding with Dr. Encarnacion Garza. Dr. Encarnacion Garza Jr. is the son of Mexican-born parents who originally came in the United States in the late 1940s. He's the third born of 6 children. Encarnacion is a former migrant farm worker and worked in the fields until he graduated from college. He has extensive experience working with students with backgrounds similar to his own. He has been a teacher, counselor, director of Alternative Education Center, elementary school principal, and school superintendent. Currently, Encarnacion is an assistant professor at the University of Texas in San Antonio in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies. His research focuses on the study of minority student success, the preparation of principals as leaders for social justice, and the exploration of school-district-university partnerships with respect to preparing principals as social justice advocates. The vision of IDRA is to create self-renewing schools that value and empower all children, families, and communities. Based upon this vision, our motto is to create schools that work for all children. I have been given the privilege to explore and research the topic of equity as it relates to our educational system at IDRA for our April newsletter publication. To add to the publication initiatives, we want to capture and share the insights and expertise of professionals like you, Dr. Garza, through the podcast, which will be linked to IDRA's website. You know that for many years, the quality of educational research has been under scrutiny. In particular, there are major concerns and implications due to the educational funding equity. And during today's podcast, we would like to capture your views on this issue. Do you believe that there is a correlation between funding and the quality of education of our students?
Absolutely. I think that the impact of the lack of resources definitely has makes a difference in the quality of educational opportunities that children are exposed to. I know that there's a counter argument that money doesn't necessarily guarantee academic success, but when there has been legislation or policy developed that has mandated redistribution of wealth, the school districts that have the resources are not willing to share it willingly. And so if it's not important, if it doesn't make a difference, then why don't share it. Mm-hmm. So I start from that premise. Mm-hmm. The school districts in Texas are funded basically through property assessments, property taxes. And technically, every school child, every child in Texas, on paper, receives more or less the same amount of money per year. However, when you look at districts that are property-rich school districts, they can add above and beyond what the state allocates for school districts that are not property-rich, if you will. And so that's where some of the inequities begin to emerge in terms of facilities, in terms of resources, in terms of technology, in terms of even an almost professional grade athletic facilities, libraries, but most importantly, the teachers that are in the classrooms.
I agree. In your experience as a principal, which you dealt with budgets, now that you mentioned that some schools, you know, have all those resources, and you may have been in situations where your school was different than one that you know of in those wealthy districts. How did you explain, or how did you come about to try to bring resources to children so that they could perform better academically?
I'm going to give you a couple of situations based on my experiences. My first 22 years of my professional career, I served in probably, well, actually, when I was there, it was the fourth poorest county in the nation. And so the district as a whole, where I worked, and I'm not going to mention districts, mm-hmm. Was considered a critically poor, property poor school district. In that case, when I assumed a position of leadership as a principal, we were allocated a certain amount of funds, you know, based on formulas,
right,
from the state and then local formulas. But we had to be proactive and take the initiative to go out looking for external funds that school districts that are affluent don't necessarily have to do.
Right.
So as a school leader, not only do I have to be on top of things academically and instructional leadership, but I also have to be very resourceful to provide those other funds that will provide the resources so that our children who come from very low SES backgrounds will have the same opportunities, hopefully, that other children in other places from affluent areas have. So in that case, as a principal, I did it for my particular campus. When I went to another school district north of here, it was considered an affluent school district. But within that district, we had the west side and the east side. And so in that district, there were inequities based on the socioeconomic status of the different neighborhoods. Even though it was the same district, the east side of the district was very difficult to recruit teachers there because, and I quote, it's in quotes, because they were the more difficult kids to teach, mm-hmm. which I don't agree with, but so that was the inequity. As a superintendent, I was the superintendent for the fourth poorest school district in the state of Texas, and yet we were property poor, but we were not money poor, because we went out and looked for all these other grants and external resources, and the kids were not lacking of any technology or anything, but the fact is that if we had been property rich, I wouldn't have had to do all that. So it's my social justice responsibility to do that, and in training future aspiring leaders, that's my role as a faculty member of one of the universities here in the city. So although I think it's a huge barrier, I think we should not let that dictate what we can offer kids. And simply by going out and being resourceful and getting additional funds.
I can relate to that because as a principal myself, I had to do exactly what you just described.
Yeah.
I had to really find resources, do a lot of fundraisers.
Leadership looks different in an affluent school district than it does in a property-poor school district.
Can you share your views on the following statement, like fiscal inequalities between districts and among campuses within a district are in violation of civil rights? Do you think this is a form of discrimination?
I think it's a form of irresponsibility. And, you know, the legal terms of discrimination, I can't go that far, but even though it may not be, I'm sure you've heard the saying, it may not be illegal, it could be unethical. And so it may not be discrimination, but it's irresponsible. When everyone knows, policymakers knows that there are such inequities. You know, the way I look at school funding, it's like the expressway system in the United States. The quality of those interstate highways does not change when you cross state lines. And I see that same metaphor. So that if you cross from district to district, the quality should not change. But it does because of funding and resources.
Right. Wish you would like for the United States to be at the pinnacle of the world in the social, economic, judicial, and government arenas. Do you think that we're placing our nation at risk if we don't address the issue of funding inequalities?
Yes. I don't have the data or the research with me now, but we are fast falling behind industrialized countries. And with globalization, the world is just becoming smaller and smaller, and competition is more intense. And you know, either we pay now or pay later.
Okay.
You know, if we don't invest now, we may not have the resources to pay later.
That's true.
You know, so it is very important. And it should not be couched in what we often hear many of us, and I've been guilty of this, telling children that education will give them a good life. And that we'll be able to have a nice home, and everybody wants that, but it shouldn't be couched with that simplicity, I think.
It's deeper than that.
It's the bigger picture, yes.
What are your suggestions to effectively find solutions in our quest to social justice and funding equity for our schools and our children?
Having been in this business, in this profession for almost 40 years, God, that sounds like a long time. I have found that people who want to do the right thing make more of a difference than those who have the resources to do it and don't want to do the right thing. So, or don't care to do the right thing, or don't know how to do the right thing. So my focus right now, and it has always been since I was a 20-year-old teaching fourth graders, has always been driven by a philosophy of social justice and fairness and, you know, access to knowledge and opportunities to kids. And in the position that I am now, I train aspiring leaders, aspiring principals, future superintendents. My courses and even our department is very, very, the mission of our department is driven by a social justice mission. And so I think that will, leadership, as a matter of fact, I was listening to NPR on my way over here. And there's a huge report they conducted over 40,000 surveys with teachers. And one of the main findings was the leadership quality of the school. And so I think that if we start there, it would transmit to the teachers we work with. And the teachers, of course, are the huge network that have direct contact with the kids. I really believe that leadership can balance out the inequities of funding because principals have no say-so on policymaking.
That's true.
And so we have to do what we can with what we have. That doesn't mean we don't keep fighting. I mean, I think we should continue to advocate, but it can't stop just because the resources are not there.
Right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.